නමෝතස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝතස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝතස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ hope you all can remember that we were discussing an interesting sutta called Dvaitanupassana Sutta, available in the Sutta Nipata, where contemplation of dvaita is highlighted. Actually, in this, there are 16 themes are explained. So while someone is engaged in vipassana meditation, he can come across these 16 themes, one of them or many of them, as he continues his practice. It is not that immediately he may be able to understand everything. Rather, as he continues, he may come to a particular situation where his mind basically streamlined with the particular direction. A kind of a conclusive decision that he may come across. Okay, I got to adhere to this kind of a practice. I need to aim this kind of a practice. So my theme of practice has to be like this. So likewise, based on his own experience, he may come to a particular conclusion. So Buddha mentioned there are 16 such conclusions in this Dvaitanupassana Sutta. So we were going one by one, and first actually started with the Four Noble Truths, where one's aim is to understand Four Noble Truths. So in one sense, he is knowing that the mundane side comprises with Dukkha Satcha and the Dukkha Samudaya Satcha, the suffering and the cause of suffering, and then the supramundane side consists of path leading to the cessation, and then the cessation, Nirodha Satcha. And then second contemplation is based on the acquisitions. So one can create a self, a person, a personality using various acquisitions. So abandoning them becomes one's goal after one has thorough understanding about the vipassana. So after going through a fair amount of practice. Then at another level, one can recognize, okay, ignorance is the main issue. So I need to abandon ignorance. Instead, I need to develop further wisdom. So ignorance becomes his main area to work with. And then volitional activities are the next one. One understand, okay, I need to basically calm down all the volitional activities, rather than allowing the mind to get agitated as a result of various volitional activities, various sankharas. Now I need to calm down, relax all the sankharas. So that sankhara samatha becomes one's theme of practice. Then consciousness is another theme where one understand, okay, everywhere once the consciousness is established, it is conditioned and it is grown, and it has created a kind of a pasture, a kind of a home to stay. And that would be the main issue, that is the main issue for whole suffering. Let me abandon all that. Let me stop all that conditioned consciousness, its function. So that becomes one's theme of practice, and so that is the fifth conclusion that one can have. Then contact, passa, is another theme where Buddha mentioned, okay, contact is one of the root causes of suffering. Contact causes feelings, contact causes perceptions, contact causes formations. So contact becomes another root cause. So that root cause has to be abandoned. So how to calm down all the passa, the contact, avoid contact, keep the mind completely unentangled. So that becomes one's theme. Then feelings. Feelings are another area that one can work with. Basically starting with Vedanupassana, one can go deeply to various subtle levels where all the feelings are penetrated and basically not being attached with. So abandoning feelings, not being attached with feelings, becomes one's theme of practice. So this is another aim that one can have. Then craving as a cause of suffering. So this is actually the second noble truth. craving is the cause of suffering. So they are abandoning craving becomes one's target. So that is where this theme is basically preached by the Buddha. And then clinging. Craving leads to clinging. Tanha paccaya upadana. So clinging actually creates another level of suffering. So how about avoiding any kind of clinging? Without any kind of clinging, can I keep my attention merely without clinging? So clinging becomes one's working area. So how to abandon clinging? How to avoid any kind of, any form of grasping? So that becomes one's theme of practice. Then instigation. So various kinds of initiations that we do, and at various levels that we start intentionally various activities. It could be bodily activity, it could be verbal activity, it could be mental activity. So stopping all that instigations, stopping all that volitional instigations becomes one's theme of practice. So this is not actually at the early stage, that basically all these themes, all these conclusions, all these decisions have to be taken after fair amount of practice in vipassana, where one may understand fair amount of the path, and after fairly maturing in the path, one may come to this kind of conclusive remarks. So to abandon all the volitional activities, here various kinds of intentional beginnings, initiations, so that becomes another theme. The nutriment, ahara, four kinds of nutriments are there mentioned by the Buddha. So that causes suffering. So if we don't have thorough understanding about the nutriments, so that can cause a lot of suffering. We are attached to nutriments and they torture the mind. So how about not being attached with the nutriments, how we are able to keep them aside? Once necessary, we can use them properly, mindfully, without attachment. But when not necessary, we can keep them aside. So this becomes another theme of practice. Then agitation, what we call as the injita. As a result of craving, the mind becomes trembled and going through various kind of agitation. So abandoning that agitation, calming down that agitation, releasing that agitation so that mind become more tranquil, released, calm, relaxed, should be the path one has to be taken. So this is how another person would think. So this becomes another contemplation Buddha explained in this Dvaitanupassana Sutta. Dependency. The last time actually we discussed this, dependency. So we always depend on something. And we have that as a habit. So mind gets attached with something, mind gets hold with something, mind depends on many things. So these things what we have dependent on are quite vulnerable, they are subjected to change. So how about abandoning them and keeping the mind so relaxed, without attachment, without holding, and without associating anything, and so that mind is not dependent on anything. Kind of an independent, freed mind has to be maintained. So that becomes one's theme of practice. Now we can discuss the 14th aim, 14th theme explained in this sutta. So if someone is asking, okay Bhante, are there any other theme that you can explain? Then Buddha says, yes, I can explain another theme, another contemplation which can lead to Nibbana. Actually, all these contemplations are so important and so potential, because if one is continuing these themes, these contemplations, one can either become a non-returner or one can become a fully enlightened arahant. So that means, so these are fairly matured practices and taking us to the final goal. And so in this 14th contemplation, Buddha mentioned, Rupehi bhikkave arupa santatarati ayang ekanupassana. Arupehi nirodo santataroti ayang dutiyanupassana. So basically, formless states are more peaceful than the states of form. So that becomes the another way of contemplation. And cessation is more peaceful than formless states. So it's a kind of a growing path that Buddha mentioned here. So among various forms, and particularly there may be various associations with respect to forms, form jhana, material jhana, and more than that, formless jhana becomes more subtle, more delicate, more beautiful, more sublime, more peaceful. But nirodha, the cessation, is even more peaceful than the formless jhana. Now here, actually, this is also not an easy way to understand at the beginning. So one first has to continue one's practice using the, say, bodily awareness, like anupassana. You are developing fair amount of awareness, and as a result of that, probably you may be able to develop fair amount of mindfulness, and then fair amount of concentration. And if you are interested, probably you can go through further development of concentration, and ultimately you can absorb to first jhana. You can absorb to second jhana, absorb to third jhana, absorb to fourth jhana. So these are really sublime, really blissful states of abiding. Jhanic experience is so refreshing. And if one is experiencing that, so that means one can be fairly blissed out with this experience. The first time, if one is experiencing even a very mundane type of concentration, so that becomes a fairly unique experience that one may has had in one's life. Because typically the mind is fairly distracted. So how a concentrated mind, a unified mind, collected mind would look like, experience like. So it's a very interesting phenomena that one can go through in one's practice. So therefore, at early stages when one is experiencing that, one becomes really blissed out and really interesting, really experience a beautiful experience one can attain with. And so one can even attach to that. One again and again wants to dwell in that kind of a bliss, because it is so sublime, so beautiful, so peaceful. So one can even be with that, and that can even be attached with. So that's another kind of hindrance that it can have. But anyway, being with that is a very blissful experience that one can have during this very life. Now, even going beyond that, so more than form jhana or the material jhana, first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, one can go to the arupa jhana. So that is more sublime, and more freedom is there in the mind. So if you consider the first jhana, the material realm, so your mind is fairly confined to a particular object, and characteristics of that object is transferred to the mind, and mind becomes so closely attached with that object and has become one with that object. So kind of a unification is there. But on the other hand, if we consider the formless states, instead of unification, the complete opening of mind is there. Infinite base, infinite space. So akasananchayatana, the space is infinite. So one can condition one's mind again and again, contemplating that the space is infinite, infinite. So this infinite space can become one's object of attention, and therefore one can attain the akasananchayatana, what we call as the infinite space. So at that moment the mind is completely open. You can't have a very narrow, restricted mind in order to attain the infinite space. Rather, your mind also has to be quite infinite. Can't have any boundary. It has to become completely boundless. So that consciousness, which is comprehending that infinite space, is also very vast, completely boundless, infinite. So one can use that very consciousness as one's attention, and then one can attain Vijnananchayatana, where the infinite consciousness is the object of attention. And as he continues his practice, so his mind further becomes sublime, further opened, very freed, and no limits, completely boundless. So that is even sublime. So if we consider that infinite space again, so that space is not there now. Now what is the perception is about the infinite consciousness. So one can now, without paying attention even to the infinite consciousness, one's mind can be further conditioned, telling there is nothing there. There is nothing there. So previously one may have used a kasina to attain the formless jhana. So now kasina has taken out. In that space there is nothing. There is nothing. So one is conditioning one's mind, telling that there is nothing. There is no object. There is nothing. But this is a conditioned practice, by the way. It is not that taken by the wisdom. Rather, one conditions one's mind, or telling, okay, there is nothing, there is nothing, there is nothing. So now one's attention becomes more forward, more targeted towards nothingness. Nothing is there. So that becomes one's attention, and nothingness becomes one's attention. And that is also very vast, and one can attain that akinchanyayatana, the absorption to nothingness. So fairly, this is sometimes considered as the most powerful level of arupa jhana, but one can even go to the next level, nevasanyanasanyayatana. There is neither perception nor non-perception. That's even subtle, and that also can be some another level that one can develop. Anyway, one unique characteristics in this arupa jhana is where there is no any restriction, there is no any boundary to the mind, there is no any constraint to the mind, and there is no any friction in the mind. There are no any kind of hindering objects in one's vision, in one's cognition. So the mind is completely open. It's completely boundless. Now, so actually during the Buddha's time, there are many people who thought, okay, in order to abandon the body, I better attach with the material jhana. First jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, because there you are into a very high level, fairly sublime level. So this material world is the gross material level forms, basically the sight, sound, smell, taste, tangible. So they bring a lot of suffering. So I better absorb to a material jhana. So their practice becomes absorbing to material jhana. So that becomes their practice, and they thought, okay, this is the end of suffering. This is the most sublime state of mind. And so the jhana becomes one's aim of practice. So they consider that as the goal in their spiritual practice, attaining form jhana, material jhana. But someone has even thought beyond that, and they thought, okay, even there are certain amount of friction is there, mind is somewhat confined, and there is still some sort of matter, a sign of matter is still there, so mind is somewhat hindered, so we better go to the arupa jhana, immaterial jhana, because it has no matter at all, and it has no boundary at all. It has completely opening, the mind become completely boundless, limitless. So that becomes one's aim of practice, and that becomes the goal of one's practice. So if you can remember that when the Prince Siddhartha, he renunciated, he come across several teachers. Two of them are into this immaterial jhana. Alarakalamaputta is onto the nothingness. Akinchanyayatana. So his attainment was so powerful and he's into nothingness. But by the way, Bodhisattva, the Buddha to be, basically abandoned him, considering that this is not the aim, this is not the goal. And he went to another teacher, Uddhakaramaputta, and he taught him the next one, Neva Sanya Nasanyayatana. Neither perception nor non-perception. So the Buddha-to-be, the Bodhisattva, attained that as well. But interestingly, he concluded, okay, this is also not the goal. So that means people have used formless jhana, thinking that is more sublime and that is the end of suffering and that is the Nibbana. And that is what they ultimately conclude their practice. But Buddha, on the other hand, understood, okay, even though one is in the formless jhana, still that is not the end of suffering. And formless jhana, as a result of their power, one can be reborn in a formless realm, and it has the capacity to be there for eons, many, many eons, so long time. And one disadvantage there is that since there is no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body is there. There is no matter, materiality there. So only the formless manifestation is there with the four aggregates, without the form aggregate. So one can't basically listen to anything. One can't basically smell anything, one can't basically taste anything. So even a Buddha is arisen, if you are there, you can't listen to Dhamma. So that disadvantage is hugely there. Say for example, so after Buddha became fully enlightened, so there he understood, okay, this Dhamma has to be preached to someone who has to be quite intelligent and fairly based on renunciation. So to whom that I better teach this Dhamma. And he immediately thought about Alarakalamputta. But unfortunately, he passed away and reborn in the Akinchanyayatana. So Buddha understood, okay, now helpless. Now I can't teach him because he is beyond my approach. There is no way to transfer knowledge. There is no way to communicate. So he is bound there for many eons. Then he thought about Uddhakaramaputta. How about teaching him? He too has a very concentrated mind. But unfortunately, he too has passed away just on yesterday. Or just 7 days ago, I can't exactly remember. So there also Buddha concluded, okay, this also kind of an unfortunate situation for him. Now he also not reachable. You can't communicate with him either. So that's a huge disadvantage in this formless realms, because you are stuck there for many eons and not being able to realize Dhamma. And the interesting point is, even after many eons, you may return back. You may return back to the form realm, form jhana, or even one can return back to the human realm. Again, the typical sansaric cycle may start. So we are talking a kind of very broader world view here. So even though it is very, very long, the eon is, but still you are bound to come back. There is no escape. So because those are fairly conditioned realms, conditioned states. So till the power of concentration is there, you can stay there. But once that power being diluted, or rather depreciated, basically completely lost, then you may return. So that is the disadvantage. And on the other hand, still the mind is fully conditioned. So you are maintaining fair amount of effort to maintain that concentration, and with willful attainment that you are being there. Fair amount of willpower is there, fair amount of concentration is there, it's a conditioned state. And now Buddha is mentioning about the Nirodha. So how sublime Nirodha is, that is the Nibbana. Yecha rupupaga satta yecha arupatthayino Nirodhaṁ appajānanta agantāro punabhava. Those beings who fare onto form and those who dwell in the formless, not understanding cessation, come back to renewed existence. So they haven't understood the cessation, by the way. They haven't understood the Nibbana. They only understood either the form realm through the form jhana, material jhana, rupa jhana, or they understood the formless realm through the formless jhana, immaterial jhana, arupa jhana. But they didn't know about the cessation, the nirodha. As a result of that, what happened? Agantaro punabhava. They again come back to the rebirth cycle. They are subjected to renewed existence. Again and again, they may again come back, again reborn. So likewise, their existence in this sansara continues. Yecha rupe parinyaya, arupesu asantita, nirodhe ye vimuchanti, te jana machuhaino. So this is the turning point in this part. Yecha rupe parinyaya. So one can penetrate rupa, one can penetrate the matter, materiality, and abandon that. So that means form jhana is not something that one's goal. Form jhana is not the end point. It is not the concluding state. Further, arupesu asantita. And he is not settling down in the formless states either. Without settling down in formless states, he does not want to settle down in the formless states. Because he understood, okay, formless states too are conditioned. Now, instead, what happened? Nirodhe ye vimuchanti. In the cessation, they become liberated. So their minds become liberated in cessation. Te jana machuhaino. So they only can abandon the death. They only can get free from the mara. Now, so this is a fairly powerful area that we have to discuss. In a way, in the Dhamma, this is one of the very profound area that we have to discuss. So let us take support from several other suttas. So here, let me take Sariputta Sutta in the Anguttara Nikaya first. So there's an interesting conversation happened between Venerable Ananda and Venerable Sariputta. And Venerable Ananda asked a question. Friend Sariputta, could a bhikkhu obtain such a state of concentration that he would not be percipient of earth in relation to earth? Basically, siyanukho auso Sariputta bhikkhuno tatharupo samadhi patilabo yatha neva pataviyam patavisanyi as. So that means, with respect to earth, there is no perception about the earth. Similarly, he is telling, with respect to water, there is no relation to water. With respect to fire, there is no relation to fire. With respect to air, there is no relation to air. So that means the form realm. You know that the four elements are the base of the form realm. And for this particular jhana, for this particular state of mind, there is no any relation with the earth, water, fire, air. That means completely free from the form realm. Now say for example, if you consider your mind, so you may get lot of thoughts, lot of perceptions, various signs in your mind with respect to the matter. You can remember your vehicle, you can remember your spouse, you can remember your house, remember your, say, another piece of work. So a lot of material stuff is stuffed in our mind. Again and again come to our memory. Again and again they come occupy our mind. A lot of signs with respect to the matter. So we are living in this material world, sensual world, and we have so much of attachment to sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tangibles, and they occupy our mind. Various signs with respect to all those can occupy our mind. So we are not free from them. But in the form realm, you may be able to abandon that. Sorry, in the form jhana, you are able to abandon that. So your mind is fairly now freed. But still, a sign of sign of matter is there. Even though you are not consistently bombarded with various signs, but you are now absorbed to one sign. Say for example, if you are in the earth kasina, say that earth sign becomes your attention and you are spreading that throughout the whole area, and now earth kasina is the only object you have, the perception you have. So likewise, when one attains the jhana, so in the rupa jhana, so you have some dependency on that matter. But the interesting point asked by Venerable Ananda is there a kind of a jhana where you have no sign of this matter? You can't have patavi sanya, you can't have apo sanya, you can't have tedo sanya, you can't have vayo sanya. Na vayasmin vayo sanyi asa. So that means you are independent of patavi apo tejo vayo, independent of matter. And not only that, of the base of the infinity of space, in relation to the base of the infinity of space. So basically he is again free, he is not percipient of the base of the infinity of space, in relation to the base of the infinity of space. Na akasanam chayatane akasanam chayatana sanyi asa. So that means you are not bound to the infinite space. Your mind is not conditioned by infinite space. So that means the arupa jhana. Similarly, vinyanam chayatana, similarly akinchanyayatana, similarly neva sanyana asanyayatana. So where the Venerable Ananda's question first covers the four material jhana, next covers the four immaterial jhana. So where his question is there a situation where your mind is not conditioned by the form jhana? Not only that, your mind is not conditioned by arupa jhana. Further, na idhaloki idhaloka sanyi asa. Of this world in relation to this world. So there is no perception about this world. So with respect to this world, you have so many things to think about. So because we are here, we are inhabitants in this realm, in this human realm, and you can think of so many things. But at this level, there is no perception with respect to this world. Na paraloke paraloka sanyi asa. Similarly, if you are thinking about future world, any perceptions with respect to future world, future birth, there is nothing, no perception with respect to that either. But interesting thing is sanyi cha pana asati, but he would still be percipient. So that's the most controversial point here. You are not thinking about any kind of a matter, not thinking, have any perception about the matter, don't have any perception about the formless jhana, but still there is a perception. And then Venerable Sariputta answers, yes, he could. One can be in such a state. And he mentioned that he was like that, he has spent such like that at one occasion, in the Savatthi, in the Andhavana. So this is basically, he is talking about one time he was attaining the Arhattapala Samadhi, where his mind is completely free from any of these. Neva pataviyang patavisanyi ahosing. So in that time, I didn't have any perception regarding the earth, water, air, and the fire. Similarly, I didn't have any perception about the infinite space, infinite consciousness, nothingness, and neither perception nor non-perception. I didn't have any of them. Further, I didn't have any perception with respect to the this world and with respect to the future world. But still, there was a perception as well. So then, Venerable Ananda is asking the question, King Sanyi Panayasma Sariputto Tasmin Samaya Hosi. So what is the perception that you had? So then Venerable Sariputta explained, Bhavanirodo Nibbanang, Bhavanirodo Nibbanang Tikome Auso Anyava Sanya Uppajjati Anyava Sanya Nirujjati. I had the perception about the cessation. cessation of existence, cessation of any kind of a becoming. Mind is completely still, no becoming at all. Bhava tanha completely abandoned. There is no condition, attainment. So basically the mind has become completely free from any kind of fetters, defilements. It has completely purified, no defilements, and attained the cessation, attained the nibbana. So bhava nirodho nibbana. So bhava nirodho nibbana is a very strong and popular statement where one has to stop all kind of becoming. So typically our minds are looking forward to some kind of activity, yearning for something. At the moment we are not fulfilled, we don't feel completely contented. Rather we are expecting something, anticipating something. So that is led by this bhava tanha. So you have this kind of futuristic event to which that you have some kind of an attachment, some kind of a inclination. So that is caused by this bhava tanha. So once one can completely abandon that bhava tanha, kama tanha or vibhava tanha, all that is abandoned, so mind settles completely in the present moment, nothing being attached with, nothing to hold with, and it has completely stopped. And it touches the cessation. It is with the cessation. Now, there's another statement in the Bahya Sutta, in the Sutta Nipata. Yatta apocha patavi tejo vayo nagadati, na tatta sukha jyotanti adicho nappakasati, na tatta chandima bhati tamo tatta na vijyati. Yadacha attana vedi muni monena brahmano atha rupa arupa cha sukha dukha pamuchyati. Now this is another example where it is explained where there is no perception about the water, there is no perception about the earth, no perception about fire, and it has no footing found there. So the mind is completely free without any kind of a footing. And further, there is no gleam of stars and no sun sheds light. There is no shining of moon, but there is no darkness either. Now these are very, you know, that sun, moon, stars. So these are the form realm. So they say human realm related perceptions. So in the mind, so any of these worldly perceptions can't be there. So in that previous example also Venerable Sariputta explained there is no idaloki idaloka sannyasa. There is no any kind of a perception with respect to this world or even to the next world. So that worldly kind of perceptions are not there. When a sage, a Brahmin, has come to know this for himself through his own wisdom, then he is freed from form and formless, both. He is freed not only form realm, but even the formless realm. Freed from pleasure and from pain. And his mind is free from pleasure, pain. So that means avedaita sukha. So there is no conditioned type of vedana that he is experiencing. Now if we take another example, so Buddha encourages to know this level. Know this state of mind. For example, in the Kama Guna Sutta, in Sanyutta Nikaya, so Buddha encourages monks to know such state of mind. And he even mentioned that state of mind as a kind of a base of mind. Tasmatiha bhikkave se ayatane veditambe. Yatta chakkucha nirujyati rupa sanyacha virajyati. Se ayatane veditambe. Yatta sotancha nirujyati sadda sanyacha virajyati. Yatta jivhacha nirujyati rasa sanyacha virajyati. Yatta body or rather the kayocha nirujyati pottabba sanyacha virajyati. Yatta manocha nirujyati dhamma sanyacha virajyati. Se ayatane veditambe. Now here you can see, even though I saw there the function of eye is seized. Now, typically when we see something, we want to name what we see. We want to add a particular comment to what we see. We want to own what we see. We have some attachment to what we see. And we want to talk about what we see. We want to write about what we see. We want to take a photo of what we see. We want to write a poem about what we see. We want to write an essay about what we see. Or we want to tell about what we see to someone else. So likewise, when we see something, we can't simply stop at mere seeing. Basically, we want to do some kind of thing when we see something. Similarly, when we hear something, we want to write it down, we want to mention to someone, we want to record it, we want to write a poem about what we have heard, and we want to appreciate what we have heard, and now we become really happy about what we have heard, or we are quite sad about what we have heard. We want to inform what we have heard. So likewise, with respect to what we heard, we are having so many business. Similarly to what we have sensed, cognized, we have so much of business. We can't simply keep them aside. We can't stop working on them. We start agitated by what we have seen, heard, smelled, touched, etc. But here, Buddha encourages. So basically, your eye has almost like ceased its function. Seeing function has stopped. All the rupa sanya, all the different kinds of signs with respect to sight, is now being fade away. Similarly, all the perceptions with respect to sounds are fades away, and ear has ceased. All the perceptions with respect to taste have fade away, and the tongue has ceased. All the perceptions, signs with respect to tastes have fade away, and your tongue has ceased. And all the perceptions with respect to the body, or rather the contact has ceased, your body has ceased. Similarly, all the perceptions with respect to the mental phenomena, mental objects have ceased, have fade away, and your body has ceased. The mind has ceased. So that means there is no papancha, there is no vitakka, there is no any kind of thoughts, mental formations, bodily formations, verbal formations with respect to what you see, heard, smell, taste, touch, cognized. All forms have stopped. All formations have stopped. Calm down. Has completely peaceful. So when this is said, Venerable Ananda is the one giving the further explanation. Okay, with respect to the cessation of six sense bases that Buddha has mentioned this. Cessation of six sense bases is nothing but the Nibbana. So this is another area. So ultimately, so what is actually Buddha meant here? So we can approach another direct answer here using the Kevadda Sutta, which already referred during the consciousness part of this Dvaitanupassana Sutta. So in this Kevadda Sutta, so one monk is asking a question, but Buddha properly correct the question, and then the correct question like going like this. Katta apocha patami tejo vayo nagadati, katta digancha rasancha anunthulang subasubang, katta namancha rupancha asesang uparujjati. So now, where do earth and water, fire and wind, no footing find? Where is it that long and short, fine and coarse, pleasant unpleasant, as well as name and form, all are held in check? So that typical condition, phenomena are not find any kind of perception in one's mind. So the answer is the Nibbanic state of mind, where the consciousness become unestablished and it is non-manifestive. Anidassana vinyana and appatitthita vinyana. So this is the state of mind, the Nibbana, the level that when the mind is experiencing Nibbana, where the consciousness become completely unestablished, non-manifestive. Minyanam anidassanam anantam sabbato pabam. Etta apoja patavi tejo vayo nagadati. Etta digancha rassancha anuntholam subasubam. එත්තනාමංච රූපංච අසේසං උපරුජ්ජති. විඤ්ඤාණස නිරෝධේන එත්තේතං උපරුජ්ජති इति. So this particular consciousness, here also it's called as consciousness, but it's a different kind of consciousness. It's a non-manifestative consciousness, unestablished consciousness, and it is anantam. There is no boundary. Completely it is endless. Sabbato pabang, it is filled with wisdom, lustrous in all sides. The wisdom is the lustre here mentioned. So as a result of wisdom, it has become lustrous. Ittha apocha padavi tejo vayo nagadati. Here it is that earth, water, air, all that material stuff does not find any footing. So at that level of mind, so any of those perception can't find any footing. So mind can't have any object of them. And similarly, whatever the say relative phenomena, that is either cause pleasant, fine, or cause pleasant, unpleasant, long, short. So those are the relative phenomena we have in the material realm, in the conditioned realm. None of them are there. And name and form. So typically mind is entangled with name and form. So our consciousness is entangled with name and form and established in name and form. And we've been deluded by name and form. But at that level, name and form also not there. So it has ceased. And then, so this is the consciousness that we are maintained. So here, the typical conditioned consciousness is completely ceased. So typical conditioned consciousness, what is it? Now when we see an object, so we may be interested about that object, we are attached to that object, we want to talk about that object, we are adhering to that object. So as a result of that, we have a consciousness which is so attached, which is so bounded, and which has conditioned, colored by what we have seen. So that is the conditioned consciousness. Suppose that you are hearing a sound, a particular song. So you are so interested about that song and you are so attached to that song and you are even murmuring that song and you are taking various signs, melodies, notes about that song. So that means that our consciousness is fully conditioned, colored by that song. Associated conditioned consciousness. So all such associated conditioned consciousness have to be ceased in order for someone to be in this unconditioned consciousness, or what we call as non-manifestative consciousness, anidassana vijnana, or appatittita vijnana, unestablished consciousness. So basically, in this nirodha, so this is the state of consciousness one has to have. It is not a place, it is not a kind of a something that one may attain after the death, rather while being in this very world. So the arahant completely in that level. But interesting enough, one can temporarily there if one is continuing one's practice in vipassana. So as much as possible, if you can remember when we are discussing last week about the non-association, we are anisita and non-clinging, anupadana, anisito, anupadano, sato, bhikkhu paribbaje, without attachment, without grasping, without any association, yet mindful, one is continuing one's life. Similarly, in Satipatthana Sutta, anisitocha viharati nachakinchi loki upadhyati, where your mind is not attached to anything and not grasping anything, and it is not associating anything. So this is the kind of direction that Buddha is taking us. Where the unestablished consciousness, non-manifestative consciousness, is the kind of aim that he is directing us. So we can't say that every time that the arahant is there, but his mind is not entangled with typical visuals, typical sounds, smells, tastes, tangibles. So those are another thing that we have to discuss. Maybe if necessary we can discuss that when one is in the complete arhatpala samadhi, then only he may have the, you know, the perfect level of glimpse of Nibbana. But yet, if one is completely free from any defilements, his mind may not associate an object in a way it is grasping it, holding it, entangled by it. Rather, he maintains a fairly freed mind even in the mundane level. Even though he sees so many things, his mind is not get entangled with those what he sees. His mind remains calm, quiet, without any conceptual proliferation. That's the most important thing. Without any conceptual proliferation. He can keep his mind very quiet, very silent, without being interested about all that what he has experienced. Okay, so this is the area that Buddha highlights in this particular theme. It's a very profound theme, by the way. And with that note, I'd like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. Now, if you have any question, you can ask.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu. If anyone has any questions, feel free to raise your hand or feel free to send them via the chat. Bhante, there is a participant that's asking how he or she can locate that document of the sutta that you just shared.
Yeah, actually I have showed several suttas. Kevada Sutta is in the Digha Nikaya. It is the 11th sutta. So I have mentioned that let me share the document again. So Kevada Sutta is in the Digha Nikaya. Digha Nikaya 11th sutta. Then Kama Guna Sutta in Samyutta Nikaya Salayatana Vagga. If you are familiar with Chatta Sangayana, it is SN35.100. And then Sariputta Sutta is in Anguttara Nikaya. That is in the Anguttara Nikaya Dasaka Nipata, 10th Sutta. There are 10 factors mentioned. All those are collected in the numerical discourses of the Buddha. So it is in the Anguttara Nikaya 10th. And then Bahiya Sutta is in the Udana Pali, Kuddaka Nikaya. And if you are familiar with that, so it is in the Bahiya Sutta, the Udana Pali.
Thank you.
No questions today. Good.
There is a written question.
Right.
It's respected Bhante, in Anapanasati, after a while, the breath is not perceived physically. There's still a clear perception of the breath movement happening, but it can't be located physically. No touch point, no location, actually no physical body really. In such a case, which sense base is active? Where does the contact happen and consciousness arise? What is perceived is movement, vaya dhatu, but it is not perceived by one of the five bodily senses, so my impression. So it must be the mind base. But breath is a physical phenomenon. So how can a physical phenomenon, air equals vaya dhatu, be perceived by the mind rather than with the body? Thank you,
Bhante. Yeah, actually, whatever in the rupa, you perceive through the mind. So that is one important theory. So form, name and form. Now, if you consider the various kinds of bodily phenomena, various kinds of material phenomena, so they themselves can't know them. Rather, the mind is the one knowing them. If you refer Unnaba Brahmana Sutta. So this question being asked by Venerable Unnaba, or kind of Brahmin Unnaba. So he is asking, okay, there are sights seen by the eye. There are sounds heard by the ears. There are smells known by the nose. There are tastes known by the tongue. There are, say, tangibles known by the body. And they don't mix up. I only can see sights, it can't hear sounds. So likewise, so they know their own respective domain. But interestingly, who is the one going to particularly know them, particularly consume these objects? So then Buddha's answer is the mind. Mano tesam patisarana. So mana, the mind is the one knowing them. So therefore, whatever your body say eyes, ears, nose, tongue know or they contact with. So ultimately mind is the one interpreting them, mind is the one giving the explanation, mind is the one cognizing them. So the mind is the one giving a experience. Okay, we can go to the next question.
Thank you, Bhante. There is a little bit of like disconnection on your side.
Really?
Maybe it's on my side?
You didn't hear the answer?
Can you hear me okay, or
yes.
Am I choppy as well?
Yeah, no, I can hear you properly. I can hear you properly.
Maybe it's my... okay, if you can hear me properly, then it's my...
Sometimes your sound drops, by the way.
Okay, let me put on my headphone. That may be an issue. Okay, with that said, let me invite Sohani for the next question. So, honey, feel free to ask.
Yes. Avasarai Bhante. Thank you, Jennifer. My question is, Venerable Bhante, now this unestablished consciousness is achieved, or you come to that state in a state of meditation. And then once you kind of engage in your daily activity, some level of established consciousness is required, isn't it, Bhante?
Yeah, that's the thing, interestingly, that we want to discuss.
For example,
even
for the arahants,
yeah.
To go for Pindapatha, even to, you know, that there is some level of
contact.
You know, there's hunger, therefore, I don't know, thinking, something is...
Yeah.
How is it? I hope you understand my
question.
Yes,
yes. Yeah. So that is something that I kept aside without much discussing. So where, how an arahant would, say, dwell in the mundane level. So that is an interesting question. So are they completely every time in the Arhatapala Samadhi, or are they simply go on Pindapatha and eat, talk and etc.? So as you know, they eat, they go on Pindapatha, they talk, they discuss, they engage with various other matters. So what is the state of mind what they are being with? So basically, you can find an answer in the Sona Sutta in the Anguttara Nikaya Chakkanipata. Let me find it to show you. So in that sutta, basically Buddha mentioned how one may be in that level. Basically not the Buddha, actually, even this Venerable Sona is the one explaining that, mentioning that even though he sees many things, not just one thing, his mind not get entangled with any of
these. Sorry, Bhante, line is not very clear.
Oh, I see. Let me see. Can you hear me now? Hello, can you hear me?
It is clear now.
Okay. So in the Sona Sutta, basically, let me recite the Pali part. Samma yamutta cittasa bhikkhuno busachepi chakkuvinyaya rupa chakkusa apata ngagacchanti nevasa cittam pariyadiyanti amissi katamevasa cittam hoti titang anenjappattam vayam chassanu passati. So this is how he explained. Now he says that when the eyes are open, so there are various things that we can see. So all that is get in line with that eye. So basically things can come to the eye, this line of sight. You can see things. But the interesting thing is, nevas chittam pariyadiyante. So the mind of the arahant not get entangled in it. Amisikata me vasa chittang hoti. It is not getting mixed up with the things what he has seen. So typically what happens with others is that their mind get mixed up with what they see, and they start talking about it. They start taking a photo about what they saw. They start commenting about what they saw. That means their mind has mixed with what they have seen. But with the case of an arahant, basically his mind does not get mixed up with what he has seen. It does not get entangled there. It remains peaceful. It remains quite steady. Even though what he sees is even a kind of a disturbing sight, still his mind is quite steady, very still. And he may even see how what he has seen simply passing away, coming to kind of a disintegration, probably he can even see. So that means he is not completely blinded. Rather, his mind is fairly peaceful even though he sees things. Hope you got the message.
Yes, Plante, thank you. So even when I'm listening to your Dhamma talk,
right,
obviously there is my concentration, that is mindfulness or consciousness is established there.
Yeah.
But in practice, it is, how is it in the practice? Like I see it as something that is arising and passing, and I absorb it and I, and that's it. There's nothing really there to work on, or like, I don't know. I have to think about it as well if I'm to, you know, further my practice.
Mm. No, that is where, we are operating. Now, when we hear Dhamma, now we are in this particular discussion, we do a little bit of reflection. Once we see, hear something, we do a little bit of reflection. So that means our mind is in kind of an operation. It is not completely peaceful. It has a little bit of work. But now suppose you are simply meditating, but not really meditating. Suppose that you are still hearing, keeping the mind very quiet. Listening is becoming a mere listening. Sute sutamattam bhavissati. So to Venerable Bahir, so that is the advice that the Buddha has given. Ditte dittamattam bhavissati, sute sutamattam bhavissati. So when you see things, keep the mind quite peaceful without getting tangled. When we hear things, keep the mind quiet without getting tangled. Because it has seen how vulnerable they are, because it understood how transient these phenomena are. So mind naturally become detached. It is not that you are very much forcefully, willfully keeping the mind at a fixed level, at a concentrated level. Rather, mind has some understanding, okay, no point of getting attached to these things, no point of getting tangled with these things. Let me remain secluded. Let me be alone. Let me be peaceful. Because all this, what we hear, see, all that are quite conditioned. They cause suffering. So I don't want to be suffered. So this is the kind of understanding through the wisdom that a particular, say, practitioner's mind is sort of endowed with. As a result of that, he can maintain such a peaceful mind. So this is that I can understand through the Sona Sutta. So it is not that the arahant is every time in the arahattapala samadhi. He can even work with the other mundane people without any problem, but the mind remains peaceful. It does not go and engage with any kind of a proliferation.
Understood. Thank you very much, Bhakti. Teruvan Sarnai.
Yeah, Teruvan Sarnai.
To clarify the first question, the written question where the participant is asking about the sutta, she was wondering how she can locate the copy that you're referencing. Are you using like a website or an app?
No, actually, no. You mean the Actually, you can refer Bhikkhu Bodhi's books. I have just given the names of the suttas, and I haven't uploaded the document that I am using here, where I have extracted various suttas and creating my own document to, conduct this session. But the names of each and every sutta I have mentioned there. If you are interested, you can search those suttas. Yeah.
I'm sure just a simple Google search will pull it up as well.
That's also possible, and there are apps like Chattasangayana app is there, and if you are in Sinhala, you have the Tipitaka.lk, and if you have Bhikkhu Bodhi's translations, probably you can try that. And Venerable, Yuttadhammo has created a nice application. Digital Pali Reader, you can use that. Several resources are there.
Lots of rich resources. So, Bhante, there's the question whether you or maybe Bhante Dhammajiva will be coming to the U.S. to conduct a retreat?
Yeah. Bhante Dhammajiva is supposed to visit there on May 27th. Starting.
Is this posted on the website?
Not yet. Now things are almost finalized. He's arriving there on 26th of May and conducting West Virginia retreat, and then heading towards some other places, and then to Canada, and ultimately return to UK and back to Sri Lanka. So that's kind of a thing available. Let me see. So there is his
and I guess Bhante, to register, we should be doing that through the Nisarana website or through the West Virginia Retreat Center.
Actually, I think, Janaka Nakandala, he's the one organizing what we call this U.S. retreat. And probably he may circulate a program on that. Still, he may be working on that, because I think that's why he hasn't communicated the whole thing. Probably I can write to the email address of Janaka. Then you can contact him and find more details. Is that be okay?
That sounds great. And then I can share that with the participants here.
I'll write to the US organizer's email address. Chat.
So okay, thank you. Meeting.
I just sent it.
Shall we proceed to the next?
Yeah, I just send you to everyone. Yeah. So he's the
contact.
Yeah, he's the one organizing US retreat. But there is another one organizing Canada retreat, Udaya Annakage. So basically I have the tentative timetable here. He's traveling on 26th to US, and then West Virginia retreat till 31st, and New Jersey retreat starting from June till 10th, and then he's heading to Canada.
Wonderful. That's great. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so for all the participants, I will contact Janaka on your behalf and email all of you with the updated retreat information once I receive that. Okay, so shall we move on to the next question, Bhante?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to invite Darshika for the next question.
Bhante, my question is, with regards to the previous question the lady asked, so basically you are in the nothing state, or Nidasana Vinyana, maintaining.
Yeah, we can say it is kind of nothing state, where there is no object in the mind. But the interesting thing is, it is not something conditioned. Now, in the that's the difference between nothingness and the cessation, as far as we can understand. We are in the nothingness, it is not based on the wisdom. If you consider Arupa Jhana nothingness, it's very much not based on the wisdom. You are simply through your willpower, again and again you have conditioned the mind telling that is nothing. But when one is going through vipassana, so there he understands thoroughly there is no being, there is no person, there is no soul, there is no self. Things are fairly conditioned. So that thorough understanding releases the mind. So there he comes to a emptiness. Empty of any kind of a self, empty of any kind of a soul or self. So that the emptiness is there in the vipassana path. So that emptiness, yes, and the arupa jhana nothingness has great difference, in the sense that in the nothingness level, still mind associates something. Still mind associates nothingness. A kind of a perception is there, kind of a strong feeling is there, and mind is conditioned. But in the according to the Dhamma, the Arhatapala Samadhi, there mind is not conditioned. Mind is not checked in with the restricted willful attention, where you know that all the sankharas, all the kind of different formations are not typically forcefully checked out or ruled out. Rather, as a result of abandoning all the defilements, mind naturally being there. So this is actually explained in one of the suttas, where Venerable Ananda explained to a particular nun, when she asked the question, what is that state? And there Venerable Ananda mentioned, okay, if you are maintaining such state, you are leading to the Arhatapala Samadhi. And there the interesting form is na sasankara nigaiha varitavato. You are not willfully, forcefully suppressing all the formations. Rather, formations are naturally ceased.
So, but we are doing vipassana, and so then we are not in the jhana state, nothingness. We go into through wisdom, we see and go into anidarsana state, emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
So if you maintain that, that should be right.
You mean you need to maintain anidarsana state?
Yes.
Yeah, that has to be that further and further.
We have to be, become a whole.
Exactly. So it is not that we have to emphasize that, okay, the Arhant is the one, you know, only can touch it. But rather, I would like to say he's the one perfectly touching it. But the Vipassana Yogi,
yes,
relatively closely be there. So that is the one that he's further and further refining, purifying, and ultimately come to the perfection.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, a person who is not arhat,
right,
will go into stages on and off, and
right,
they have to try and maintain it,
right,
for a longer period, so that 24/7, then by that time, hopefully, person become arhat.
Exactly. So that's what I also think, because it is not that immediately you come to a such kind of a, you know, profound state. Rather, you come to a very temporary state where there is no conditioning, there is still, but by the way, it is somewhat conditioned, because still the influence of defilements are available. So the influence of defilements is the one, you know, push away you from that profound state. So once you are further and further, say, removing the defilements, you are eradicating the defilements, the possibility to remain there becomes so possible, so easier, because the influence, the interruption, interference coming from defilements become less and less. So you can maintain such a sublime, peaceful, unattached state of mind in a more easier manner, because the craving is not trembling you, the delusion is not deluding you, the dosa, the dvesha, anger is not agitating you. Rather, your mind become more and more peaceful because the influence of defilements become very less.
Yes.
So the arhant case, in that case, I would like to say, so he can simply peacefully be there because there is no influence coming from the defilements at all.
Yes. So in a person with the sweet person, again, we don't have to talk of the jhanic states.
Mm-hmm. Basically, I think...
Because when we improve the wisdom, it's the empty space or anidarsana vinyana, that's what a person will achieve.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bhante. Yeah, it's very clear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bhante, do you have any questions on your side?
No. Nothing from our side today.
Okay. Looks like we've covered everything on our side as well.
Fine. So then we'll wind up the session for today, and we have spent some time discussing Dhamma as well as listening to the Buddha's teaching. So whatever the merit we have accumulated, we'll share with all the celestial beings, all the past devotees, and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to attain path fruition Nibbana. We'll recite the traditional verses. Ettavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam. Sambe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam. Sambe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam. Sambe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha cha bhummattha deva naga mahiddika. Punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha cha bhummattha deva naga mahiddika. Punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu desanam. Akasattha cha bhummattha deva naga mahiddika. Punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu mamparam. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you, Bhante. Teruvan Sannai.
Yeah, Teruvan Sannai.